We're doing the parshas way of feet. Ati Yaakov Baris Mitzrayim, Shavayis Vashana. So Rashi says, why is this parsha stuma? So the Sifsechom explains, if it's stuma, how do you know it's supposed to be a parsha? So it says Kabbalah from Ezra, a sofer, that this is a new parsha. And parsha stuma should be nine letters space. But over here, there's no space. So why is that so? To teach us that when Yaakovinu was Niftar, that Nistamu Einayim V'Libam Shel Yisrael, Mitzoras HaShibud. So the question we asked is, simple question is, here it's not speaking about his patiras, Vayechi Yaakov Baris Yisrael. It's not talking about his dying. He dies later. So we said that over here, Vayechi Yaakov Baris Yisrael means that the Torah is giving a summary of his life. When the Torah is giving a summary of his life, it means that his purpose, his objectives were already spent. And therefore it's discussing his patira. It's considered as if his patira is taking place. Because philosophically it means that his purpose and his objective in life ceased to exist. It's giving a summary of his life. Yeah, the question is, however, they didn't give the brachas yet, so he still is still alive. He still has something to do. He still has something to do. So really, when a person, definitely, a person. That's right. No ulterior motives. That's right. That's why. When a person during his lifetime is in a certain frame of mind that is a frame of mind of the living, which means he's involved in the Melchamas HaChayim, he's involved in facing every day his purpose and his existence and accomplishing and doing things. So this is a certain frame of mind that a person has during his lifetime. But before a person dies, when death is imminent, so then this frame of mind is gone. He's no more. He doesn't think anymore in terms of his own accomplishment, in terms of what he's supposed to do in life. See? There's no more Melchanas HaChayim. It's over. He comes to the realization that's it. Whatever happened, whatever I did, this is it. And the ideas that he conveys in his last moments is not a challenge to him. It's not an accomplishment, the ideas that he conveys. On the contrary, the reason why he can convey those ideas is precisely because he is mentally completely out of the world of the Melchamas HaChayim. Melchamas HaChayim is over. That's why the Gemara says the pasuk in Dvarim by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he only was mochich the Jews samach lamisa. Who did he learn from? Yaakovinu. Because Yaakovinu said, "Ruven mi lama lo chachtav kashon malalu." Why? Because as long as Yaakov was young and death wasn't imminent, so people look at him, his Reuven would have got angry at him. Because he would have not considered him to be doing it for the purpose of taking it as being vindictive. That's because as long as a person's involved in Melchamas HaChayim, as long as a person's involved in living, so in the life, the mental life of the living, so then he's prone to different types of emotions. And Reuven would have got angry, and he would have ascribed to him some emotion, and he would have rebelled. But when a person sees that death is imminent, then he's in a different frame of mind. And the people understand that he's in a different frame of mind. They know that he's not involved in life anymore. He's not going to do things for his own emotions. He knows it's all over already. Whatever he says, he's saying because he really sincerely believes that this is the truth. They can't hate him for it. They know he's out of the drama of life. Doesn't play any role in the land of the living. He's gone from the land of the living. And that's precisely what the brachas. The brachas, as a prerequisite, require that the man is out of the land of the living. That's what the brachas require. That sets the stage for the brachas. Without that frame of mind, there are no brachas. Because as long as a person's involved in life as a participant, he's playing a role in life, so then he's not, this man is not fit to give brachas. Because he has his own, he's involved in his own melchemes hachaim, he has his own emotional attachments, and he's liable to do things for his own purpose, he's liable to distort things. It's not a time where that man has really clear vision. Man's vision is clear when he's totally removed from the situation. Who is really removed from the situation? A person that knows his death is imminent. He's removed, his life is over, that's it. Now he can speak the truth the way he sees it, without any personal attachments. See? So that's really, Vayechi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim is a portrayal of a state of Yaakov Avinu, the state of mind of Yaakov Avinu. That state of mind is where his life, for all practical purposes, is over. You see? He's only in a, he's only involved, it's true, he has something to do, he has to give up the brachas, but that really is not something that is done in the sense of an accomplishment or a task. It's just a spontaneous, thing that he does because of his state of mind. It has nothing to do with a person's acting his role in the land of the living. It's completely, it's a spontaneous thing. His life is over, and now he can spontaneously say what exactly he thinks the truth is. All right, it's a different type of activity. There's an activity that a person does in his life every day as a challenge. His challenge, life demands that he does a certain activity. And then there's an activity that a person does spontaneously when he realizes that there's no more life. That's it. Not part, right. That's right. Not a part of the accomplishments of his life. I don't think it's just a matter of the insofar as the recipient is concerned. I think it's also insofar as the mevarach is concerned, that the person who is in that state has the ability to see things objectively, whereas the person, when a person is involved in playing the role of the living, I mean, he's involved in the melchama sachayim. He doesn't have that insight. He doesn't have that insight. Even Yaakov. Even Yaakov, I'd say. Because it says that in the beginning of Memtes, it says that Hey Osfu Vagida Vayikra Yaakov Abana Vayom Hey Osfu Vagida Lachem Eisa Sheikra Eschem Ba'achras Hayomim. You see? So it says Bikech Lugalas Zakeits V'Nestalka Mimena Shechina V'Nestalka Mimena Shechina. That's right. So what does it mean, Bikesh Lugalas Kez Levanov? One thing you see, it means, like the Rambam says in the Mora Nevuchim. The Rambam says in the Mora, he says that a great person reaches the height of his greatness the moment before he dies. That's what the Rambam says. The moment before he dies is when he reaches the height of his greatness. Because that moment is when he faces the ultimate reality. See? So you see, by Yaakov Avinu, that was true also, because Bikesh Lugalas as a Kates, and it means to say that he was on a very high level of Nevuah. He was on a level of Nevuah where he saw the entire future before him. It's a high level, and then he wanted to reveal it, but God didn't want to reveal it. But you see, why did he at that point? Was he able to see the Kates? Because that was the moment before he died. The moment before he died was his greatest moment of perfection. And the brachas can only be given in where a person is in a totally objective state, and that's only where the person is recognizes that death is imminent, that death is a reality to him. See? As by Yitzchak also. That by Yitzchak also, he only gave the brachas when he was close to death. He thought he was going to die. So it doesn't matter. He lived actually longer after that. But it doesn't matter. Because he thought that, lo yadati yom osi, he said. So he knew he was in a state of mind where where to him, death was an imminent reality. That state of mind is a state of mind for the brachas, because then the person can be objective. Before that moment, the person cannot be objective. By Moshe Rabbeinu, I wouldn't say it. Because by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that he didn't die. The Rambam says. The Rambam says Moshe Rabbeinu Lomais, a davar shenikra etzlo misa is only that we don't have him anymore. But as far as he was concerned, he didn't die. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was on a level where there was no attachment to the physical, which means that he was totally in a state of reality all the time. That was pel pel dabarbo lochin avde Moshe pel pel dabarbo. So that's why by Moshe, the only reason why he waited was because of Klal Yisrael. It says mi lomad mi Yaakov ruven mi lomad lo chachtev kol hashanim alolu kideish lo yeholich v'dovek beis avachi. So the Moshe Rabbeinu was just because of the recipients of the Nevoah. You can't say that Moshe Rabbeinu was because of the one who gave it, because by him he was perfected totally, and there was no Misa by him. That's what the Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayos. There's no Misa by him. No Misa means that nothing was changed insofar as his attachment to a reality in the process of dying. Whereas by a regular person there is a change because he has attachments to the physical world, which he loses when he dies. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not have any attachments to the physical world at all. So he was on a level of the totally objective level. The reality principle was at its highest, even when he was alive. But only he was that way. That was Abayim Yom Abayim Laila Lachem Achalti Mayim Lashasisi. That was the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody else reached that level. No one. I would say that a person doesn't accept it means was a person. When a person listens to Musar, he's affected primarily by the Gavra of the Medaber. And if he recognizes that this person is dying, he only relates to the Chefetz Shel Dibur. That's right. That Nevuah that he received at that time wasn't just a supernatural thing. It was a natural result, like the Rambam says, Nevuah is a natural process, a natural result of his state of mind at the time. Okay. At any rate, this fits in perfectly with the second Pshat in Rashi. Right, she begins to go to the case of one of the Nistan and Menor. That's why it was. That's why it's a Parsha Stuma. It's a Parsha Stuma. So what's the first Pshat in Rashi? That after the death of Yaakov, they began to be Meshabe. Sheba Mitzrayim began. Sheba Mitzrayim began. Why? Why? Why was it a special Hashgacha that way? Why should it be that way? In other words, Parshas Stuma means that there's something missing here. Parshas Stuma means that there's something missing here. Something missing over here. Because the Parsha should have its own identity. A Parsha, ordinary Parsha, should have its own identity. It should be set up as its own entity. Why is this Parsha not set up as its own entity? Because this Parsha has something that's missing. Something bad was... Something's lacking here. Something's missing. So there's two pshatim as to what's missing. Now, one is that it was bad for the Jews. That Mitzras Hashiva, the Hischil Shabdom. Why were they Maschil? So the question we ask is why did they begin the Shiva then? I mean, who was the important person in Mitzrayim? Was Yosef? Yosef, who was Shalat Al Aretz? Who was Mashbir L'Chol Am Aretz? He was the one that was the star. I mean, he was the one that was the one that saved all of Mitzrayim. So what is the why was the Hischil Shabdom? Why was the Hischil Shabdom as soon as Yaakov Avinu passed away?
Yeah.
That's true. And Shmos says, the Yama says, Balachal Chal Darahu. That's right. Yeah, it seems it was after Yosef. I would take a suggestion that the Rav one time made. I think one time spoke about it. That really Yosef, when Yosef came to Parah, I elaborated on that in the Parshas Miketz. That when Yosef came to Parah, Yosef really spoke to Paro. He told him a whole different approach, and he showed him that I think we spoke about it last week. Yeah. And we said that that's right. He says Biladai Elokim Yaneh Shalom Paro. So it sounds like he's haughty. What do you mean Biladai Elokim Yaneh Shalom Paro? So the answer is that what he was telling him was that you. Look for your magicians, and the magicians you feel have certain powers that they can answer these dreams. He said, "No, Biladai Elokim Yaneh Shalom Paro. I don't have any special powers. All I have is a certain mechanism with which we can, the man has a certain mechanism with which he can understand Chachma. And he can understand Chachma, if he naturally understands Chachma, so then he will naturally be able to explain certain phenomena, including your dream. But it's not a magical power that is endowed in a particular person, that he has the key to unravel certain mysteries. See, that's the primitive mind believes that the person, this guy, has certain power. Go to the medicine man, he has certain powers inherent in him. But really, a person who believes in Chachma, it's not that the person has certain power. Everything is Chachma. The only power there is God. That's the Chachma Selukim. And a person has the ability through his own Chachma to unravel certain ideas, certain secrets, to unravel the mysteries of the universe. It's not a magical power that the person has. So that's what he said. Biladai Elokim Yanes Shalom Paro. He meant that it's not me. It has nothing to do with, it's not a special power within me. So Yosef spoke to, there's no doubt that Yosef had many conversations with Paro. And you see the way he told him, he says, Vata Yerafar Ish Novon Lachacham Vishisei Olaris Misrayim. Alright? And that the, he should establish an Ish Novon Lachacham. That to let him, that he should be the Ish Novon Lachacham. What is this? This was a whole new approach. Now you see the chinuch. Another person, another. If he would have asked the magicians, they would have done a little dance or something to do away with the 7 years of famine. Says, no, this is reality. Reality is that this is what's going to happen, and now you have to deal with reality according to Chachma. I can only tell you what the reality is. There's no way you can't change reality. The magicians always would convince Paro that there are ways that we could do things to change the reality. Yosef showed him a whole new approach, that there's a reality here. There's a reality principle. Man has the ability to understand what's going to happen in reality to a degree. See? And but once he understands it, he has to work with the laws of reality. Vata yera power ish novam lachacham vishisei olaretz mitzrayim. Now you better deal with this in a realistic way. That's why he started the whole rationing system. A whole rational lands to make sure that during the years of famine, it was a rational thing. To get Paro to agree with this, it must have taken some time, because they didn't believe in this type of a thing, a rational approach to reality. Get magicians and do something, change this whole thing, and we won't have the famine. See? No, he showed them that man can uncover reality, but man is bound by reality, and you have to deal with it with Chachma. That's the only thing that man can do. So he says... He says, that's why he got astounded. Ish asher roch alakimbo. This is a different type of thing. This is a man of reality, and he relates to God. I mean, it's like both worlds come together. Really, it's not a dichotomy here. So Paro was very impressed, and apparently. Paro must have had many conversations and discussions with Yosef. I was impressed about this whole system, this whole new system. So you can imagine that when Paro heard that Yosef's father is coming, that he must have been very very excited about this. Because it says, "Vayom Paro Yosef, Kol Nishma Beis Paro Lema Boach Yosef Vayitav Beinei Paro Beinei Avodav." That was Mem Hei Tezayin. So Vayom Paro Yosef Emor Lachachazazu Tanu Es Beirchem Luchu Vo Atzakanan Luchu Vo. I'm sorry, Atzakanan. Yeah. Ukechu Es Avichem Ves Botechem Uvo Eloi. Kechu Es Avichem Ves Botechem Uvo Eloi. Vetnu Lachem Es Tuvat Mitzrayim Vichlas Chelav Haaretz. He told him, go bring your father. Why? Because he must have told him that his father is the source of the whole system. This is where he got the whole system from. So Paro was very happy to had a special respect for Yaakov Avinu. And you see that when he came, when Paro came, it says, Vayove Yosef as Yaakov Avayamidei lefnei Paro. He brought him in front of Paro. So you see, Paro was really interested in seeing who is this old man that's the source of the whole system that Yosef established that saved the whole land. So there was a tremendous respect for Yaakov Avinu. So he says, Pasuk says in Nun Yud, when they the funeral, during the funeral of Yaakovinu, Vayavo at Goren Ha'otar, Asher Be'ever Hayarde, Vayispidu Sham Misbeit Godol V'Chaved Ma'od, the Pasuk says. That everybody made it was a tremendous hesped. Okay? It was a public hesped for everybody. Vayas Loviv Evil Shivas Yomim. So, and it says, Vaya Yoshev Horetz Akanani Eso Evil. Begorin Otto Vayomru Evil Kovet Zelam Mitzrayim. So this is a tremendous avelus for Egypt. Who is this? Yaakov Avinu? What does he have to do? Who cares? Old man. What do I care about him? So you see that he was known. Al Kain Korashimo Ovil Mitzrayim. Ba'asher Be'ver Yardin. Okay? So you see that Yosef really made it clear, and you take a look at Rashi says that Goren Otar, he says, Rabbi Hussein Dorshu al Shem HaMa'ora, Shebo Kol Malchei Kinan, and Nesiyeh Yishmoy al HaMelchoma. They were going to war. V'chiven Shero Kisro Shel Yosef, Tolui Ba'arono Shel Yaakov, Amdu Kulon V'Tolubo Kisraim, V'Yikifu Aksor, V'Yikifu Aksor, K'Goren HaMukaf, Siyog Shel Kotze. So they all saw that Yosef took his crown and put it on his on the coffin of his father. So they all went and put their crowns around. What does it show you? It shows you that they recognized there was a recognition for Yaakovinu. Evel covers them. That's right. You see the whole Egypt, and not only the Egypt, but all the surrounding nations saw that what type of avelus this was. So you see, it's a funny thing. Yaakovinu really did not play much of a political role. But you see that underneath, people recognized that he was the source of the whole system. And therefore, there was a special kind of fear, or a yira sakava that they had for him. And as long as he was alive, the Egyptians could not begin to think in terms of enslaving the Jews. It was simply impossible. It was like an unconscious type of respect. It's an interesting thing that Yosef was really the one in the foreground. And that really, one would think that's the most powerful thing. But you see, it's not the most powerful thing, because you see that later he was losing ground. Because when he wanted to bury his father, so it says he went to Beis Paro and he was losing ground already. It wasn't like it was before, it was going down already. He's going down. Why is it going down? Because the person that's in the foreground is always good, as long as he's doing tremendous things, tremendous accomplishments. Then people need him. So that's why they respect him. But the moment he's not doing these fantastic things anymore, it's a nice story at the time, you know, it was very nice when he saved Egypt, it was wonderful. At the time they were all excited about him. This is the man. But years go by, and he's still in the foreground, and there are not too many accomplishments that he's done. I mean, after all, how many crises do you have, you know, that he could be he has to deal with? So the man in the foreground loses his stature. But the person in the background, the quiet one, they know that he has something special about him that we can't get to. We don't know what his thing is. He has something, another type, an otherworldliness, another type of power. This person doesn't diminish. There's always a tremendous respect for him. So they say that people knew that the Vilna Gaon was alive, made a whole different roshim, a whole different impact on the people of that generation. Just knew that there's a Vilna Gaon there. It's a different kind of a respect. That kind of respect is not dependent upon the daily accomplishments. It's an inherent thing where people recognize that this man is something different. Yeah, on the contrary, because he can't deal in the public situations, they recognize that he belongs to a different realm. Yeah, different realm altogether. And because he's in that different realm, that's why they have a certain type of respect for him that is stronger, really, than the one who's in the foreground. See, it's a different type of phenomenon. And that's what Rashi means. It says that as soon as he passed away, when Yaakovinu passed away, that fear, that respect was gone from Klal Yisrael. And once that was lost, then they began to think in terms of Shibud already. The actual Shiva, of course, didn't take place till later. But the approach to Shiva took place, they began, the Haskalas HaShiva began at that time. That's the first shot. Second shot is Shabikesh Lugalas is a case Levonov, the Nistami Menom. Alright? That's a strange thing. That's a strange thing, because that you have in both in two places. You have it here and you have He Osfu Vagidulachan, Esa She Yikuraschem Biachris Hayomen. Yeah. And really, the truth of the matter is, it's an open pasuk. I mean, it's an open pasuk. Hey, Osfu, I give you a chemeis, and has nothing to do with the achras hayomim. All right. What is the achras hayomim? Ramban says achras hayomim is yimos haMashiach. Is yimos haMashiach. Ad ki yavo shiloh. He says the Ramban says also. Achras Hayomim is Yimos HaMashiach. It's not just the drasha, it's the pshat. Yeah, it's an open pasuk. So what, this is something you have to understand. I mean, what is the, first of all, why is it over here really? It should be if that's the reason for the stima, so it should be, later. So the answer is, what? So that we explained before. That this is the state of mind began over here. The state of mind began over here. That's why it's over here. Right. Just a chumis, Akasha. Give us an answer. Okay. But now, what we have to understand is, what does it mean, Bikesh Lugalas as a Kates? Why did he want to reveal the Kates? And why was he prevented from revealing the Kates? That's something that would be nice to understand. There's certain, it's two types of people. What we're saying is that there's two types of people in this world that are you might say, in the respected and revered in the eyes of the public, the eyes of people. One is a certain type of, there's two different types of the veneration that people receive. Two different, qualitatively different types. One type is a loud clamor, and the other type is like a quiet type of veneration that they have for a certain individual. A quiet type is really the strongest. Even though it's not the loudest, it's the strongest. Two different types of things. Why do you want to reveal the case? Why do you want to reveal the case all of a sudden? Remember, it shouldn't be Megala the case. What?
Yeah, that's right.
See, I would say like this. Why did he want... What? See, what was the time? What was the time of his life over here?
I thought it wasn't supposed to be a personal.
It was a time when he recognized that his death is imminent.
It could have been a personal.
His death is imminent. Which means, we just said, a person recognizes death is imminent, it means that all his efforts of his life, he looks back in retrospect at all the efforts of his life, and he sees himself in an objective way. There's no more energy pushing forward. No more energy, no emotional attachments. No energy pushing forward. It's only now the energy looks back at the past, and what he was, and what kind of a role he played in life. You see? And Yaakov Avinu, when he looked back at his life with all the trials, tribulations, and difficulties that he worked through, and that he lived through, it all had one objective. The objective was to establish a perfected system on this earth. So he naturally was drawn to the Kates, because the Kates is the time when all his activities will reach their objective. His whole life's activities. Yaakov, after all, was the one that was mamed the whole Klal Yisrael. It wasn't Avram, it wasn't Yitzchak. So Avram was Yishmael and Yitzchak had Esav. The one that was mamed, the Shiftei Kod, that established is Bnei Yisrael. Yisrael was Yaakovini. Yaakovini established the whole Ummah. He was the one that established it. And the establishment of the Ummah has one objective. What is the real objective? The real objective is the Yimos HaMashiach. That's the objective. Because that's the perfected state. So Yaakov Avinu was enjoying at that time a beautiful vision of his whole purpose of his life, the Yimos HaMashiach. He was enjoying the vision of the objective of his life. His life was over. But the objective of his life was being realized by him when he was through envisioning the Yimos HaMashiach. That's the most perfected state. And he was enjoying this vision. and he wanted to share this vision with his children. You see, that they could see what the whole purpose of a person's strivings, of his strivings, were. And naturally, the thing is that when a person many times wants to share something with somebody, but the thing is, it's only really a subjective thing. For that person, it has a meaning, it has value. But for the others, it's not. He made that. That was the mistake that he made. He wanted to share with them because he was overwhelmed by that vision, you see. And for him, it was really something which was a beautiful thing. But God wouldn't let him share with his children. Why not? Question is, why not? So why not let him think that he's sharing with them? Let him know. Well, there must be some harm. I can understand why you say that they can't. They're not on the level. But what harm is there in letting the old Yaakov share his little vision over there with his children, you know, and he's enjoying it and let them enjoy it, right? What's so terrible? What's so terrible? And what was so interesting about the vision of the Emos Mashiach there? I mean, so what? It's like obvious thing. Everybody knows one of them is going to be Mashiach. So Mashiach's going to come. So what? It's not. I don't believe it means. It's just a matter of when it is. Not a matter of a date thing over here. It's got to be something more than a date. Because it's not just a date thing. And Saul is right, because the Pasuk says, Esa sheyikra eschem bachras hayom. Sheyikra eschem bachras hayom means something's going to occur. What's going to occur? The answer is like this. The answer is that Mashiach always has to remain. Yemosa Mashiach always has to remain a mystery. See? Because the people aren't ready for the reality. People aren't ready for the reality of the Emos Mashiach. And if you would reveal to them the reality of the Emos Mashiach, it would fall flat. And the whole impetus of the nation to move forward towards that time will be gone. You see? So the Emos Mashiach, the only one that can enjoy the view of the Emos Mashiach is a person who is totally perfected. A person who is not totally perfected will not enjoy the view of the Emos Mashiach. That's why you have so many problems with it. Everybody's always running after Mashiach, looking for Mashiach, because it's really they're not ready for the real exactly. But Chazal they try to keep this under control. That's why they said a person shouldn't really try to calculate the kates, try to look for Mashiach, because it comes from their own fantasy. See, it comes from their own. It comes from their own fantasy. And the Rambam says, "Dovazeinu mevi lola de yira v'loli de ava." Lola de ava, I can understand, but why not lide yira? Some people are from him. You see, I was just in a shul recently. Rabbi spoke about Mashiach. The calculations from the Vilna Goyim that he's going to come in 3 years, and it's unbelievable. So why doesn't he say it's maybe the year? You see, at least people are from there. You keep the Torah because they believe Mashiach's coming. They've been playing this game for hundreds of years already. Keep them going another couple of years. So there's another new gematria is going to be soon, you know. Why is that low maybe, any maybe low the year of Le'ava? Why not even Yira? The answer is because that's not your Yira. That is really catering to a base emotion, to an infantile fantasy. And that's not Yira. Yiras Onish is at least something that has a rational basis. Yiras Onish. This is just catering to a fantasy of a person's expectations. He thinks that Mashiach is going to come, that it's going to be a tremendous thing to fulfill all his unconscious fantasies. See, that's not Yira. That's not Yira, and that's not Ava. That's just an attempt to fulfill the basic primitive emotions. Yira is at least a rational thing that a person's Yiras Onish. He's afraid something bad is going to happen. Okay, he doesn't understand what the real bad is, but he knows it's something bad, so he avoids it. That's a rational thing. But this is just fulfillment of fantasies. That's what the Ram means. Shadovar ze eino tipach rucham shel choshvei haketzim. That shadovar ze eino mevi lo de yir le de ava, because it's just, all it does is it gets the fantasies going. And what you're doing is, it's true, you may keep people that way, you see, but what you're doing by keeping people that way is just is reducing them to a primitive state. That's not what Yadis wants to do. That's not what Yadis wants to do. They may keep Yadis, but if you keep Yadis for that reason, it is such a warped, distorted yadus that it really has very little perfection left to it. That's why Chazal said that should not be done. Should avoid that. But nevertheless, you see from the phenomena that because the fact that people do it, you see that the person, underneath it all, a person has the desire to fulfill his wildest unconscious fantasies. You see? And that's why it looks for Mashiach to do it. That's what all these things. That's what all this thing you mean today. It's every generation, every generation. Today, with the those who claim the we want Mashiach now, and we want our fantasies now. I mean, that's the it's all the world of fantasy, Because the truth of the matter is, especially now, the truth of the matter is, I mean, if a person would take care of what is he Mashiach for right now, a person would take care of all the opportunities he has to improve himself in this situation, especially in this country, which is really a great country. I mean, we never had a situation like this. Guy has plenty. Everybody has. There's no one that really. I mean, I say no one. I mean, unless a person's meshuggah. The ones that these poor today, because they're crazy. But I mean, there's no real situation of a person not being able to make a living. It's just as endless taivas are what destroy him. Plenty of time to learn. A person really wants to. Why doesn't he perfect and take the good that's right in front of him instead of worrying about somebody else coming along in order to make more available? If he'd use up what's available to him, then we could say that there's reason to look for more. But he's not even make use of that that's available to him. Wants Mashiach now? What he wants to do is he does not want to really perfect himself and to avail himself of the good that's before him. What he wants is a magical formula that's going to satisfy his fantasies. You see? That's the, but that's what it is. But it shows you from the phenomena, you see one thing clearly. What do you see? You see that a person cannot really have the idea of a ketz cannot be enjoyed by most people. Why? Because the reality of the ketz would be too
real.
Yeah, too shocking to them. Too shocking for them. So really what it meant was that Yaakov Avinu could not share his vision with his children. They weren't on the level to share the vision of the Achras HaYamim. Vision of the Achras HaYamim is only for a person on Yaakov Avinu's level, Kod HaMisa. But for the Bnei Yaakov, they wouldn't be able to share that that Nevuah. If they would, it would be detrimental for them. Why? Yaakov Avinu didn't realize this. Apparently, they were on a very high level, and he thought that they were on the level. Apparently, they weren't really. Apparently, they weren't really. That only God could know. A person's inner nature to know exactly when he's on the level or not, what level he's on. That's Bochen Klayas Alev. I mean, a man can't know what level another person. So it wasn't an avera on his part. I mean, he thought he had to go by what he thought. He thought they were on the level. Truth of the matter is they weren't on the level to be able to appreciate the ultimate scene of reality. There was something there that would have been they weren't ready for. Something they weren't. Of course they weren't. We're not talking about people like today, average people. But still, even on their level, there was something that they weren't ready to realize. And that's why the Kates had to be hidden from them. That's why Moshe Mashiach had to be hidden. Yaakov Avinu played two roles. A role insofar as his own personal life is concerned, and insofar as he was a vehicle of establishing Kol Yisrael. Right? Now the question is, why is the Parsha Stumah? Is it insofar as his role with regard to Kol Yisrael is concerned? That's the first shot. Or is it because of his own personal, there was a personal stima over here? It had to do with his own personal life. That's the question. The question is, we know it's one of the two. It has to be one of the two. So that's why they mention both. The plain pshat, the plain pshat is like the Ramban says, that he sensed in himself a certain weakness, and he saw that he's approaching death. But the Bereishis Rabba, the Medrash that Rashi quotes, says that it's a side point, that you only say Vayivru by where a person's lo egil may have also. It shows you it's a psychological phenomenon. You see by Paro, when he went by Paro, Mem Zayin Tes. He says, lo isigus yimei shnei chayei avosav mei megureim. He was comparing it with the life of his father. There is always a comparison. Person always compares his life, his years, with the years of his father. It feels like that's his lease on life. That's the model. That's his lease. And if he lives less, the Gemara says a person should worry when he's in Magili Mei Avosov. Should be concerned. See? There's a psychological phenomena that a person... person is feels that he deserves what it is to live as long as his father did. It's a psychological phenomenon. And if a person does not live as long as his father does, so then it's as if he's been cheated out of life. It's as if it's harder for a person to accept. It's harder for a person to accept it. It's as if he's been cheated out of life. If he lives more, then he feels great. He feels right. That's right. That's what the Bereishis Rabbah is saying. The Bereishis Rabbah is saying that a person who faces his death before, when he knows he will not live as long as his father did, has a certain sensation. He feels that he's being cheated. It's a certain sensation. That craver lamisa is a more difficult one for a person to face. That approaching death is more difficult psychologically for a person to face. And that was the type of situation that Yaakov Avinu was facing. He was facing that phenomenon. So that's what it means. That's what it says, Vayikru v'yimei Yisrael Lamas.
Is that purely an emotional thing?
You see, everybody has it. Everybody has it. It's an emotional thing. You see, that's right. You see, by Avraham Avinu, I mean, you could ask me, say, but the... I'm not saying, I mean, he handled it. Yaakov Avinu handled it. I'm sure it's not the... But the psychology, but the psychology was there. I mean, the emotion is there. As you see, even by Avraham Avinu, it says that God changed the words of Sarah, Mnei HaShalom. Because she said, Adoni Zaken. And God said that, Vani Zakanti. Why? So Avraham Avinu shouldn't be angry at Sarah. Why is he going to be angry? He cares about being old. What's so terrible about being old? You know? Well, he wants to be a young swinger. I mean, what does he care about? You know, you're talking about Avraham Avinu, right? What's the answer? The answer is that you see that emotionally, the emotion is there. The emotion is there. Even by a very great person, you can't say that the emotion, the great person knows how to handle the emotion, but he still has a psyche. He has a human psyche, and the emotion is there. So you can't say that he's totally devoid of the whole phenomena. That's impossible. Even Avraham Avinu, he's a great Navi. But if God would say that Sarah said that Adoni Zakein, it would bother him. It would be the emotion, there would be an emotional, a momentary emotional effect, some type of effect. Otherwise, you can't say, God, why did God change it for? There's no effect, what difference does it make? The answer is that there has to be the effect. It's a psychological phenomenon. I mean, there has to be effect. Of course, I mean, a great person. It's Mavri al Midosov, he deals with it, and there's no danger, but he knows he handles it. But the emotion is there. So that's what it meant. It meant that what Rashi's saying is, Rashi's pointing out that he was facing a certain type of situation. He was facing a certain type of situation that he knew that he's dying before his father's years. Okay? Vayikol of Noli Yosef, Lemisha Yecholas Biyadalasos. What is Rashi saying? So the thing is like this. Vayikra Lamisha Yecholas Biyadalasos. What is the Medrash telling you? The Medrash is telling you that it was purely a practical visit. That it had nothing to do. Vayikra Lavnali Yosef has nothing to do with the fact that he wanted to see Yosef. It was purely practicality. Purely practicality. Which means that he was, which shows again that he was removed completely from the emotional enjoyments of this world. He simply was concerned with the practical, to make sure that practically his death is done, handled in the proper manner.
Yeah.
Okay?
He's
not traveling. That's it. Yeah, well, the metaphor measure said, let's say full measure. What does it say? Lomolo.
Hey.
What is that? He says, Lama lo karla lo l'ruven v'lo yehuda ruven hu abchor yehuda ha-melech v'nichon v'karla yosef Lama kem b'shul sheh sipi b'yad l'asas v'fikach l'yukar l'vnel yosef l'fi sh'ashtyom m'sur lo. Alright. Yeah, what the Medrash means like this. The Medrash means that he wouldn't, you see, there's an institution of b'chor and there's an institution of melech, malchus. It means that he wouldn't violate these two institutions because of favoritism. That's what it means. In other words, because you could say Vigil of Nali Yosef because he liked Yosef better. Because we know he liked Yosef better. But the Medrash says no. That he wouldn't do because the Bechorah was given over to Reuven and the Malchus was given over to Yehuda. And it would be a violation of those two institutions. He wouldn't allow his favoritism towards Yosef to violate the institutions of Bechorah and Malchus. He wouldn't have done it. So the only reason why he called Yosef in this situation is because he was the only one that could do anything about it. It wasn't really. In other words, if it was a question of anybody could do it, so then the one that would be in charge would either be the Bechor or the Melech. Belongs to him, because the father now wants to make sure that his death is dealt with in the proper manner. So the one to do it is either the Bechor or else the Melech. And to call Yosef would have been wrong, because to call Yosef would have been that because it's his favorite, he's violating the institutions of Malchus and Bechorah. See, and that would have been wrong. He would never have done it. So the only reason that he called Yosef was because in this situation he had to speak to Yosef, because Yosef was the one that was in charge. It wasn't, if it was a general thing that so then he would have given it over by right. He would have given it over to Reuven or to Yehuda. But since it wasn't a general thing, it required a specific or something specific. So therefore, he had to he was justified in speaking to Yosef. Why did he make him swear? You see, also Avraham Avinu made Eliezer swear too. Can't say that it didn't trust Eliezer. I mean, Eliezer was a great person. As a matter of fact, Shalav the Avos, and really he would have taken his daughter. But the only thing is, because he was a slave, so he couldn't do it. It wouldn't be good for the nation. But Knani. But he was really a great person, Eliezer.
There was no way that Pharaoh could deny him that right to do it.
That's
if
true.
He didn't swear.
That's a good answer.
He wouldn't. If he didn't swear, he wouldn't.
That's a good answer.
He would have said, "Well, he didn't swear."
And that's what he said. He said, when Yosef went to Pharaoh, he said, "Ovi ish biani lemar." So he, I'm sorry. So he made him. So he made him swear, so that when he goes to Pharaoh, say, "I have to do it. I have no choice."
There's no way.
I have no choice.
And that would work.
That's
out
good.
That Yosef.
I mean, the Yaakovina knew that Yosef was stature, and therefore he had to use this tool.
The new mechanism.
Right. But the question that you have to ask is, what about Avram and Eliezer?
Well, according to Rashi,
apparently Yaakov, you can't say, if Yaakov saw fit to make Yosef swear, he thought it was necessary to tell him about it. Apparently on his own, Yosef, he was afraid Yosef wouldn't do it. Otherwise, there would be no reason to do this whole business. Right?
Now the question is why.
Right. Right.
Why,
that's right.
Why the God rather than...
What?
Why is it better to do it that way?
Why is it better to do it the... Now, the thing is, you see, there's two things we have to understand. Why? Apparently, Yaakov realized that he sees things a little bit differently than Yosef. That he has a different idea over here than Yosef. It could be that Yaakov Avinu, in the state that he was, recognizes he bigish legalis as a kates. So it means bigish legalis kates means he was already out of the whole reality that was in front of him, that was going on in Egypt, and he wasn't. It didn't mean anything to him. He was already looking at the ultimate future. So in his situation, there were no effects of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim had no effects on him whatsoever. But Yosef, he realized, is still entrenched. So Yosef, he realized, is still entrenched in Mitzrayim. He still is effective. He still is a great man there, and he has different ideas about Mitzrayim. They're political. He has to take care of political situations. Question of maybe it's not so bad to bury my father over here right now, and we'll move him later, or whatever. He had to deal with different situations. Yosef was involved in the day-to-day life and what was going on in the political scene. I mean, this was something which was affecting him, which he had to respond to and he had to work with. And the different concessions a person has to make, and the person can do the different rationalizations. But Yaakov Avinu knew that it would be a horrible thing if he would ever be put into the ground in Mitzrayim. There he knew that would be a terrible thing. He realized that it would be a terrible thing. Now, that's why he insisted that Yosef swear. But what does a swear, what does a shrew represent? See, the shrew changes the person's motivation. Without a shrew, the person does it for the individual. Somebody has to do him a favor, he's doing it for a favor. Once you make a shrew, now it's a commitment to God. It's a different realm. It changes the realm of the of operation. That's what a shrew really does. That's the same thing with Avram Avinu. That's what Avram and Eliezer. The same thing. So you see that the Avos, when they made them swear, the reason why they made them swear was because they did not want them to function based upon the motivation of personal favor. Personal favor. They wanted the activity to be done purely on a because of their own commitment to God. That's what they asked. That's what they asked. He asked them, please do me this chesed emes, and you'll make this shrua. True chesed emes, you'll make the shrua, and then naturally you'll have to abide by your shrua. But why did they do that? The question is why didn't they want them to function based upon their own motivation? Why based upon the shrua?
Either way,
they're going to do it anyhow, and it's hard to believe that
they're
what?
One is in the realm of the psychology.
I would say two things. I would say that first of all, a person knows that a chacham, a true philosopher, will always do things in a better way. He will strive harder when he has the ultimate motivation. To him, the ultimate motivation is his relationship to God. That's the ultimate motivation. even Bein Adam L'Chavero is only an offshoot of Avas Hashem. The ultimate relationship is between him and God. So I would say like this, that wherever a person wants something to be done, and the thing that has to be done involves a lot of tribulations, a lot of difficulties, so he would, what he tries to bring about a situation where he has the greatest possible motivation. Yeah, so that's what it means. It means to say that wherever you have a difficult task, so it is wisest to make use of the greatest motivation on the part of the person that you're charging with this responsibility. Okay? Now he knows that the greatest motivation is his personal relationship to God. That's the highest motivation of all. So what he did was he took it out of the realm of the personal and he put it into the realm of God, the ultimate responsibility. The ultimate responsibility is to God. So that's why these were both difficult things. He knew that Yosef is gonna have political problems here, and the same thing with Eliezer. Like you mentioned before, he himself had conflicting emotions and a difficult thing go away. The point is not that he wouldn't do it. But the point is, a task, in order to be accomplished, a difficult task, if a person can't accomplish it, he can't accomplish it. But what is it, when you say he can't accomplish it, depends upon how much is involved, how much the person is involved in attempting to do it. You know? So therefore, he gave them, both Avram and Yaakov, supplied their messengers with the greatest possible motivation, the highest form of motivation. That's because they wanted to make sure that they fulfilled their responsibility. No one knows what's going to happen. Avram Avinu didn't know, and neither did the Yaakov know. Maybe he'll encounter a political situation where it's impossible for him to do it. Can't do it. How does he know it's going to be done? He doesn't know it's going to be done. But his responsibility was to make sure, to the furthest degree that it is done. How do you make sure to the furthest degree that it is done? Where you give the person, you supply the person that you, if you can't do it yourself, you supply the person that's going to do it with the greatest and highest form of motivation possible. And that's shrua. Because the highest responsibility and the greatest motivation for a philosopher, for a chacham, is between he himself and God. That's the highest motivation. So Bein Adam L'Chaver is very nice, but it's, look, I can't. I mean, I'm trying my best. I can't do it. What am I supposed to do? But if it's Bein Adam L'Makom is the highest relationship. So he made this task. He brought this task into the realm of the highest relationship. Then he fulfilled his responsibility, because his responsibility is to make sure, as far as he can, that he's not buried in Mitzrayim. And how does he do that? by creating a situation, the best, most, the best situation, which the one which would be most expedient in bringing about his being buried in in Canaan. Why didn't he instill in Yosef the importance of the mission itself, and then he would be able to do it with the same amount of energies that he himself wanted it to be done? The answer is no. Because Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamos means that he was in that state where he was able to realize what the truth of the matter is. And the political scene of Mitzrayim didn't play any role in his life. But Yosef could never reach that state. Impossible. It's not Vayikrivu Yemei Yosef Lamos. It's only Yisrael. So therefore, he was in a state where he could see it objectively, and that you can't convey that. That cannot be given over.
I see. Normal things like
it. I'd say there's something else also. I would say that there's another aspect to this. When a person does something, the reason and the motivation that's involved in his doing it also affects the way he looks at what he's doing. See? In other words, if a person does something for a certain reason, it affects the way he looks at it. The fact that it was done because of Shrua, because of Bein Adam LaMakom, gave Yosef a totally different view of the importance of the thing itself. See, it's Shrua Hashem. So therefore, it also had the effect. The same thing with Eliezer. The fact that Eliezer did it because of Shrua, is bound by Shrua. Also, his doing it. The fact that it was done because of Yeshua raised the importance of the activity itself to a higher level. And he was able, so actually it was instructive also. It raised it to a higher level, so you should realize what the importance of this thing is. If you raise it to the level where a person is functioning because of Yeshua's Hashem, and not because of a personal favor, it's a different type of activity. Raise it to a different level. The nature of the activity is different, and the value of the activity is raised in the eyes of the performer. So that's why they use the medium of Shrua. Shrua is the only thing that could do that. See, Shrua is something we could take a personal thing, I'm asking a personal favor, and he could raise it to give it a new dimension altogether, raise it to a different level. So the activity that he's involved with now is on a totally different level. You see?
Why didn't Yaakov want to
be buried in Canaan? Rashi's Chesed Emes, Chesed Shosim Em Amesim, Hu Chesed Shel Emes. She'eino Metzapel Atashlam Gemol. So the chesed that you do with the people who are dead is a real chesed shalemes. Why? Because you're not looking forward to any type of repayment. Okay? Yeah. I don't think practically it's true. Why? Because you see on the contrary that people run to Mason because they feel that precisely this is the greatest mitzvah, and therefore God's going to pay them back more than in any other area. So what? Great. So that's the question we ask. You see people on the contrary. What does it mean, Chesed Emes? That any of the top fashion. Well, you see people really run to these things. They're more inspired by doing these type of things than by ordinary things, because they know we're going to get a tremendous reward. The answer to this question is as follows. That it's an interesting thing, but the question is. Let's say, for instance, Ben Adam LaChavero. So, there's Ben Adam LaChavero and there's Ben Adam LaMakom, right? Now, Ben Adam, really, the truth of the matter is that everything is basically Ben Adam LaMakom. Because we explain that the true level of Avas Yisrael, is really based on Avas Hashem. Because he loves God, that's why he loves that creature that has the chachma that reflects God's chachma. That's that type of a creature. So therefore, it's really an expression of Avas Hashem, right? So actually, so everything is Bein Adam LaMakom. But you see in Hilchos Tshuva that it's not so. If a person does a wrong to somebody else, to a friend, and let's say he does tshuva gemurah on it, So Benon Lamakom is fine, but he didn't have the mechila of the individual that he wronged. He has no kapara. The question is why, but he only did he did shuva 100%. God forgave him. God forgave him. So why? What's wrong? See, so the answer is like this. The answer is that you see when the way God set up the system, he set the system in a way that you have a special responsibility. You must answer to another person. In other words, since man is such a level of creature, you have a responsibility to the man. So your responsibility is to the man per se. You have to answer to the man. That's the way the system is. That's the way it's set up. In other words, it's not simply that by doing somebody a favor, I'm doing a mitzvah, because that being is God's creature. It's more than that. This creature, this Adam, was endowed with certain rights. He warrants certain responsibilities, and you have to answer to him. You actually have to answer to him. He's in charge. You have to answer to him. You have to work within his framework. He has a right to establish a framework, and you have to work within his framework. It's not just that he's just an object of creation like a rock. You see? It's more. Ben Adam L'Chavera, the principle of Ben Adam L'Chavera means that he is an individual to whom you must answer. And if you wrong him, he's the one that's in charge. If he wants to be marchal, he can marchal you. He doesn't want to be marchal, he's not marchal. It's completely up to him. He has certain rights as a person, and he can forfeit these rights, or he can insist on them, or you have to answer to him. It's his system. God gave man a right to establish his own system. It's because, of course, it all goes back to the fact that he's a Tzelem Elokim. But the fact is that how do you relate to the Tzelem Elokim? In his framework. You are mechuyev to relate to him in his framework. Alright? So therefore, if he doesn't want to give you mechila, it's not nimchal. Why isn't it nimchal? He did tshuva and everything, it's tzadik, gamra. No, doesn't work. Because your obligation is to answer to this person. This person as an individual is in charge of of his own system. It would seem from the Rambam that if you take the proper channels of asking for mechila, even though it's not marchal, eventually you don't have to be concerned about it. The reason is because he reaches the limit of his Rambam is in the Perek Beis of Shuvah Alacha Tes. Because he has certain rights as an individual, but he reaches the limit of his rights. If eventually he's not machal, if he keeps on asking him, he's not machal. He reaches the limit of his rights. But essentially, your obligation is if you deal with a person, let's say for instance you borrow money from a person, who is your obligation? To God or to the person? What's the answer? The answer is to God, of course, but to the person also. But to the person, you have an obligation to that person. It's not simply that you're paying the person, the obligation to the person is because he's a creature of God. That's one. That's why Ben Adam L'Chavera is always a double Avera. Because it's Ben Adam L'Makom and it's Ben Adam L'Chavera. Ben Adam L'Chavera means that you have an obligation to him personally. As an individual, you have a responsibility to that person. Okay? Besides the fact that he is a creature of God and therefore you have a responsibility to deal with him justly. And as a matter of Avas Hashem. That's a separate dimension. But you have a personal responsibility to that individual that you should answer to him. That you must pay him back. You see? That's the... to satisfy him. You have an obligation to satisfy that person. He is in charge. You have a responsibility to him. You have to answer to him. You have to answer to a Ben Adam. That's what the institution of Ben Adam L'Chavera really is. It's an amazing thing. And without the Torah, you couldn't say such a thing. But you see, the Torah sets up an individual as an institution that you have to answer to him, not just to God. It's to him you have to answer, and that really why is the whole. That's the whole reason why Ben Adam L'Chavera involves two averus. That's what the Richard Bohr was asking me in Hilchshuv. Involves a double avera. Involves an avera of Ben Adam L'Chavera and Bein Adam LaMakom. But it's two separate institutions. You see? Now you can understand the Rashi over here. Why? Because Rashi says, "Vasisa imadi chesed v'emes chesed sheosim imamesim hu chesed shalemes she'eno mitzapa l'tashlum gemol." It means like this. It means that there are two. What he did was, what Yaakov Avinu did was like this. First of all, he made him swear. So making him swear brought it into the realm of Bein Adam LaMakom. See, but he also said, "Vasisa imadi chesed v'emes."
That
you should exactly. That you should answer to me. Now I'm demanding of you that you do me a favor. Forget about the Bein Adam LaMakom. I'm asking you personally, and you have to answer to me. Responsibility to me personally, aside from the Bein Adam LaMakom. So that Rashi says is a chesed shalemes. Why? She'eino mitzapa l'tashlum gemol. Because in that situation, the exclusive relationship that exists between him and this other person, and he knows that this person is going to die, and he can't get anything back from him, that's a chesed shalemes. In that realm, there's two realms. The reason why people run to do these things is because they're thinking God's going to pay them back. See? But the over here, what Yaakov Avinu did was he put him into, he was machayev him on two grounds. First of all, Shavuah, which was Bein Adam LaMakom, one. And then two, that he should answer to him personally, I'm asking you for personal chesed, for me. For me personally, it's chesed shalemes. Because for me personally, you know you're not going to get anything back in return. So he was a division of the two concepts, a division of the two types of obligations that he accepted upon himself. That shows also that it was people who are superstitious. On the contrary, when it comes to the dead, they're very, very afraid. You see, so you see that Yaakov Avinu and Yosef were dealing in reality. In reality, on the contrary, there's nothing to be afraid of. That's why it's Ches Shalemes.
Right, that's right.
Since Bein Adam LaChaver is a separate institution, you see. So in the realm of Bein Adam LaChaver, it's a chesed shalemes. If a person is realistic. When you're doing a chesed for somebody, you're not doing it for God. You're doing it for that person, for that individual. The idea of chesed must relate to that person per se. He is an individual that has the right to receive your chesed. That's the right to demand chesed from you. Him personally, it's in his framework. It's that person, relates to that individual. You're not doing chesed in abstract. You're not doing chesed in abstract because it's God's creature. I mean, that is true also. That's the Bein Adam LaMakom also is involved there. But the Bein Adam LaChaver is to that person, that's the chesed, to that individual. Satisfy that person. Yet ultimately, of course, it rests on God. That God created the world this way, and He created man, and He allows man to to demand and to receive certain benefits because He's a Tzelem Elokim. But it must relate to that person; otherwise, it'd be a Avodah Zarah.
That's right.
It's not man per se without God, but the Gavra of man. Chesed is to the Gavra of man. That's what Chesed is. An interesting thing. Reminds me of the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara says that it says Sof Dvarcha Emes. So the Gemara says Sof Dvarcha Emes V'lo Rosh Dvarcha Emes. So the Gemara says no. From Sof Dvarcha is nearer that Rosh Dvarcha Emes. Why? Because the Yumas Olam, when they got to the Nochei Hashem Lekecha, so they said Kavod Atzmo Darish. He's looking at himself. But then when it says Kaber Esavicha V'Asim Mecha, so they said, now we see that it's that he's not after his own covet. Because what is really kabbalah sevich v'simecha means that you have a chiyuv kibud to the person of your father and mother, to the person of your father and mother. You have to answer to them, even though of course the ultimately reflects the creator. Yes. Ultimately reflects the Creator. You're right. So what is the whole? So what are the? So what's the whole Gemara saying? That the Yom HaSalom said is a tremendous thing. No, because ultimately reflects the Creator. Because the Gemara says Shlosh Shush from Ba'adam, right? It's only the biological parent. So what's the answer? No, the answer is it's true, but it's the Gavra of the father and the Gavra of the mother that they are entitled to respect, that the system entitles to respect. So there they said, that's why the Umos Olam said, now we see that it's an objective system, that God is not it's not a type of God that is on the level of man. Like they saw, it's a different, now talking about a different level already. Because you see that he gave over to individuals this right. No human being would give over a right to somebody else. If he's a melech, so he wouldn't give over the right to somebody else. He'd say it's a means, but to give that person the control, that they should be the ones, that should be the entities that receive and deserve and warrant certain covet themselves, as persons themselves, nobody would do that. See, nobody would do that. It would only be a means for the melech. But in Kibbutz Avayim, it's the gavra of the father and the gavra of the mother that deserve the respect. That's why they said that now we see that this is a different kind of a God. This is not a God that's a projection of man. It's a different type of a God altogether. So they recognized, that Rosh Devorcha Emes, that this is a different, now we're dealing with a different system over here. It's not simply a projection of a human type of form. So it's a different kind of a God. The same thing with Beinonu L'Chaveru. Same thing with Beinonu L'Chaveru. It's the gavra of the Adam that you must answer to. You see, they have the right to be mochel if they want. They can be mochel on the covenant. It's their covenant. It's their covenant. They're in charge. You have to answer to them. That's the Gemara with the Gemara and Kedushin with Talmud Chacham also. Because the Gemara says that Talmud Chacham can be a Rav Shem Machal al Kavodo, is Kavodo Machal. The Gemara asks the Kasha, Torah delay? Is it his Torah? Is it this Gemara's Kasha? What do we give Machal? It's not Torah delay? Gemara says, in Torah delay. It's his. And what does it mean? It means you have to answer to the Gavra of the Talmud Chacham. You have to answer to him. If he wants to be Machal, give Machal. It's up to him. Yeah, he did me a boy. Melech can't. Melech is shit. Hey, must all lecha. And why? Because of the rav. So, because by melech, the moment there is no emor, there's no melech. That's the definition of melech. Okay. Let's go next Rashi. Come on, we got to finish it off. Al nasik bereini b'mitzrayim. So, what does Rashi say? Rashi throws in a lot of things here. First of all, it says sofa lios afrakinim. Eventually, the earth will be lice. Alright, that's one reason. And those who die outside of Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to Tchias HaMesim, they have to go through the pain of rolling through the cavities in the earth. Okay? And also, V'shelo yasuni mitzrayim avodah zara. And the Egyptians shouldn't make me into an avodah zara. Those three things. Enough reasons there, right? Yeah. Who cares if the Sofali of Safrakina? He's worried about a physical body. Besides, they don't really, it depends how deep down. I don't think the Akina went all the way down to the bottom. It just says that the earth on top became, surface became Akina. So, you can insist that they're buried a little deeper. It's the kingdom of the Machos. That's true. That's a very good question. The question is, what do you think all those reasons for? Why did Avraham Avinu want to be buried in the Maaseh Machpelah? Let's see. Yeah, that's right. What is this whole thing? What? The thing is like this. See, I think like this. What does it mean? So for Lilkos, the Medrash Rabbah has Lilkos Bikinim. That's Lashon is very good. See, the thing is that land is always, people are related and identified by the land. People are related and related to a land, they're identified by the land. So that if a people is cursed, the land also has is involved. Or if the land is cursed, the people are involved. See? Because there's an identification between the people and the land. That's really the concept of Eretz Yisrael, actually. You see, that's the concept. That's why it says, now we go back to Eretz Yisrael. Rambam is Mesupik, whether Bezman is that would apply. Rambam is something about it. But the question is, because Mitzrayim represents, that land of Mitzrayim represents this evil way of life, and that's why you can't go back to the land. The land becomes identified with the people. So what he meant was like this. Apparently when the in the Makkah of Canaan, that the reason why the land was used was to demonstrate that the land is cursed, in order that the people and the land should be considered cursed, because the people identify with the land. So that's why there was the Makkah Kinnam. Makkah Kinnam was done from the land in order to demonstrate that this country is cursed. People, the land, everything. You see? So that's what he meant. He meant like this. He meant that he didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim, because he didn't want to be associated. The ideas of Yaakov should not be associated with the with this curse. First of all, it would mitigate the curse. You see, and it would mitigate the curse. And it's a tatir sasri. It's a contradiction. Can a land where the great tzaddik is buried raises the land to a certain level? And here God wants the land should be reduced to a very low level. It should be recognized as cursed. So that's why what he would be doing by being buried in the shrine would be going against the atati de sasri to God's will. See? Okay. That's what it means. It's a mushal. Marachshim b'soch gufi means that the lashon of it is marachshim b'soch gufi in the Medrash Rabbah. It means it's a atati de sasri. That's what it means. Now, reason two is v'she'ein meisei chutz la'aretz chayim ela b'tzar gilgul mechilas. What does that mean? See, the thing is like this: that where a person is buried, shows what is all the idea. The Gemara says v'chiprad maso amo, that a person should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. See, the Rambam had his body brought to Eretz Yisrael. There's an idea of a concept of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. What is the concept? The concept is that the land again is identified with the people. And it's identified with the destiny of the people. So a person that's buried in Eretz Yisrael, the fact that he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael shows that what he's saying is, this is my destiny. That's what he's saying to the rest of the nation. This is my destiny. I'm Yisrael. There's a special destiny of the Jew, and I'm a part of that destiny, and that's why I want my body to be buried there. That's really that's the purpose. That's why the Gemara says it's even better if a person dies there. If he has his body shipped there, it shows it is that he wants his, that's his destiny. But if he lived there and died there, it's even better, because it shows that was really where he was at the time that he died. So it's greater. That's what the Gemara says. So what it means is like this: that those people that are buried in Chutz La'aretz in the time of Trias HaMesim is a time when the whole purpose of Klal Yisroel will be realized, the highest degree. So a person who wasn't a part of making his destiny in Eretz Yisroel is lacking something. It means he'll be lacking something in the time of Trias HaMesim. That's what it means. Because he didn't bring about. He wasn't instrumental enough. As much as he should have been, bringing about the demonstration that there's a special destiny to Klal Yisrael, and that's why he'll be lacking. That's what it means. It means he'll be. It's a mashal, but it means he'll be lacking in Yemos HaMashiach, in the time of Tchias HaMesim. That's what it means. So really, you see from these two things why you need these two reasons. The first reason is that he didn't want to, it was a negative and a positive. First one, he didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim, because he doesn't want to be part of the cursed land. And secondly, because he wants to be part of the land that is identified with the destiny of Klal Yisrael. Two reasons. Two things. See, that's very good. As Medrash Rabbah, that Lama was Mechavin for Eretz Yisrael, because the Meisei Eretz Yisrael L'Chaim Tchila. That's what it means. Meisei Eretz Yisrael L'Chaim Tchila. Because they're the people that are part of the ultimate state of Klal Yisrael. Okay? That's what he means by these two reasons. It's a positive and a negative. If he was in another land, so he'd just be missing out from the positive. But here he's in Mitzrayim, which is a cursed land, so it's a double reason. That's what it means. It's not two separate reasons. It's really two sides of one coin. It's the same idea. Thank you. Lesses shelo yasuni mitzrim avodazar. One thing you see what we said the last time is true.
Yeah,
that they had a tremendous respect for Yaakovino, a sort of a mystical respect, even more than for Yosef. He didn't have to perform Yaakovino. They had a certain tremendous reverence for him, and they would have made him into an avodah zarah. You see, that's because what he was afraid of was that he'd be an instrument of the deification of man. And the deification of man takes away from God's deity. So that's why it says, Gemara says about Gaiva, Ain an evil yachol lidar moderafa. The God says, I can't live in the same world with him. With the person that's a Gaiva. Why? Because it's a tati de sasri. Because in reality, the only one that's deserving of real kavod is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when people deify man, so they're taking away from the whole picture of reality of God. There's no deification; that's only reserved for God. So he didn't want to become an instrument of deification of man, because it takes away from actually what people wanted to see. You know, how it works is that's how Avodah Zarah works, is that people aren't satisfied with God because God's not physical. So what they want to do is they want to take those powers that are ascribed to God and they want to give them to man. You see, that's really what it means, is that they're taking away from the reality of God's omnipotence. You see, so he didn't want to be an instrument of the deification of man. That's what it meant. He knew that he was in such a situation. It reminds me of Albert Einstein. Before he died, he said that he wanted to make sure that his office on Mercer Street should not become a shrine. Very upset about that idea. Yeah, he said, "After I die, I want the next guy to come in here and he works here just like I did. That's it." Because it was abhorrent to him that the world should deify a man. See? It's an abhorrent idea. A person who is... So the idea of making a shrine... See, what is the idea of making a shrine? The idea of making a shrine is taking man out of his true context, which means he's a mortal creature. A shrine means that you're making him immortal. Man does not partake of immortality. Man is mortal. And to take him out of his true context means to warp the whole perception of reality. There's only one eternal being, and that's God. And to deify man and to make man into even the greatest man is not realistic, and it's something which is a distortion of reality. Of course, it's a distortion of God's omnipotence. It's a reduction in God's omnipotence. Yeah.
So really.